You're listening to Jules Schiller. Jules Schiller on ABC Radio Adelaide.
Have you ever heard of a thing called fluoridation? Fluoridation of water?
Yes, I have heard of that, Jack. Yes. Yes.
Well, do you know what it is?
No. No, I don't know what it is now.
Do you realize that fluoridation is the most monstrously conceived and dangerous communist plot we have ever had to face?
Yes, that's from Dr. Strangelove, which is a film I'd highly recommend if you've never seen it. Peter Sellers at his finest, where he's talking to a base commander who's fired a nuke at Russia after being convinced that the government are causing a communist plot by fluoridating the water. And fluoridation has always had this kind of far-right conspiracy aspect to it. In the States, it's still seen as a way for the government to wrest control of the bodies of its citizens. And it's also the subject of several political movements, I should say, in Australia. Water fluoridation actually commenced in Adelaide in 1971. And as of 2010 in this state, 90% of our communities have access to reticulated water with appropriate levels of fluoride. It's not as common in every area of Australia. In Queensland, I think, where it's hotter, it's a bit more difficult to fluoridate some of the water. But it's an issue that has always been bubbling under the surface, and I thought it would be good to explore some of the myths about fluoridation and chat to a few people who are qualified in talking about it. It really kicked off with Pete Evans last night. He was interviewed on the Sunday night program, and here's what he had to say.
Pete's picked a fight with state health authorities over the safety of fluoride in drinking water.
What evidence is there that suggests that fluoride, very low levels, is bad for us?
I'll send you the studies.
Okay.
There's a mountain of evidence out there.
Right.
And again, I'm confused as to why you wouldn't have done that when you're going to ask me these questions.
No, I'm asking you, but doctors are telling me that this evidence doesn't exist, and I wanted to put that to you.
You're a journalist.
You're telling me that
a lot of the times I feel like when I sit across from a journalist, and no disrespect, but you ask me questions that you should be doing the research on yourself, and being armed with this information first, your response then is, doctors have told me.
Mm.
Why are doctors experts in fluoride?
Mm.
And what are their qualifications to be up to date with the neurotoxins that fluoride is?
And they would ask you the same question.
Yeah, and I'll send them the information that if they ask.
Yeah.
You know, there's a mountain of information.
Yeah, so we didn't really hear the mountain of information. We didn't hear from a doctor, and we didn't hear any rebuttal of that from Pete Evans. So it just was left sitting there in this kind of bizarre little vignette of that whole interview where fluoride was bad and there's a mountain of evidence and doctors are for it and he's against it, and nothing was brought up statistically, scientifically. And it's an issue that there's a lot of that around. Like, people have very set opinions on fluoridation of water. And if you have a question, SMS it in on 0467 922 891, or give us a call, 1-300-222-891. People often associate it with the anti-vax debate. I'm not sure if it's at that level, but people seem to have concerns about it, and it seems to be an ongoing concern. There's even a Freedom or Free WA of Fluoride group, a political party that got involved in the state election there. So, look, we didn't hear from a doctor on the Sunday night program, so let's do so now. Dr. Michael Gannon joins me. He's president of the AMA, of course. How are you going, Dr. Gannon? Thanks for joining the program.
It's a pleasure, Jules.
Are you surprised with how incendiary the fluoro debate is? I mean, it seems to me to be quite a benign kind of program to help tooth health, really, but it really does get people fired up sometimes, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, and you're quite right when it gets conflated with the anti-vaccination movement, and somewhere along the line there are people who have a strict libertarian view of how society should run and feel threatened that government should make these decisions on our behalf. But the truth is that the science is there. They first discovered... you're quite right. Adelaide was first, so all those rude jokes about Adelaide water can stop right now. They first discovered in North America, where the communities where the water supply had a decent level of fluoride in the water naturally had much lower incidence of dental caries, tooth decay, etc. And there are many parts of the world where the level of fluoride in the water is sufficient that it doesn't need to be added. But in many parts of Australia, it is, and we've seen a significant corresponding fall in the rate of both benign and more serious dental disease over the journey.
A lot of people say that you can have too much fluoride and that can affect your bones or affect your teeth. Is that true?
Well, you can have too much fluoride, and you can always have too much of a good thing, and it's absolutely incumbent on the authorities that they get the dosing right. The amount of fluoride that's added to the water is minute, and it's certainly not at a level that poses any threat to community safety. As I say, if you live in a part where the water table or the dams contain sufficient dose of fluoride, then it's not added, and depending on where you live, it's added. Now, you've already made reference to the fact that in Queensland and in New South Wales, where local government authorities have the right to make this determination on behalf of their population, they've fallen victim to scare campaigns, and fluoride has been taken out of the water. So a public health triumph that we should be talking about, gradually increasing the proportion of the population that that gains a benefit from having fluoride in their tap water. Unfortunately, we're seeing the move backwards with local government authorities on the basis of scare campaigns taking fluoride out of the water.
I think, you know, the main claim of a lot of the anti-fluoride groups, Dr. Gannon, is that you're kind of, they say you're medicating everyone equally. You're not taking into account age or specific medical conditions. So it's like a blanket medical approach to a population, and it should be more specialised, and they seem to resent that. Is there anything in that?
Look, I think the ultimate, you know, aspiration for someone in my job is to see all Australians have access to an equal quality of health services. That's what we spend a lot of time in the AMA thinking about. We think about how can we possibly get the same quality of health services to someone on a healthcare card on Coober Pedy as someone who's, you know, wealthy in the inner suburbs of Adelaide. Now, here's a good example of the way that we can deliver the same health benefits to everyone across the community. It's really cheap. It's really safe. And let's face it, dental services are not cheap. This is one of the ways that we can overcome that, you know, inequity which exists in our society. We can reduce the number of people getting extremely sick, not just acutely from things periodontitis, dental abscesses, but in the long term as well. We know of the association between poor oral hygiene and heart disease. So this is a good example, like vaccination, of a way where we can even out the benefits of the whole community.
I mean, obviously with Pete, and Pete Evans, you would say he's part of a sort of a naturalist movement of people who, you know, the more extreme elements don't like vaccinations and that they're into non-toxicity. And so fluoride has really been drawn into that debate, that it's not a natural substance, that it's a toxin. And that kind of, that element of society, I guess you mentioned Lismore Council, so you've got Byron Bay, and that kind of element of society seems to be gaining in popularity. Does that worry you?
Well, it's a huge concern, and you know, I'd recommend that anyone, you know, driving along the central coast of New South Wales hold their breath. Unfortunately, you can't do it for 100 kilometres. The real problem with this is that you know, for example, vaccination only works when we achieve herd immunity. And there's people out there who are making themselves and their own children part of international microbiological experiments. It might be fabulous in the groupthink environment that is the Byron Bay community to eschew the benefits of vaccination and fluoride in the water and any other number of proven health measures. But when your child grows up and goes to Bali for the first time or travels into Thailand or Indonesia, that's when they will get a full force of not being protected against a group of infections that we've just about consigned to the history book in Australia.
And of course, you've got this bizarre thing of you know, hippie groups, or let's say naturalist groups and far right wing groups kind of having similar opinions on public health, which is just bizarre.
That is true that extremists at both ends of the political spectrum often find themselves agreeing. These are really simple, proven public health measures. I mean, one of the other ones that that we don't talk a lot about, but you know, for many years in Australia, we've put folate in the bread. So there you go. There's another conspiracy theory for you there. The government's putting folate in bread. But very simply, at population level, that reduces the number of kids born with spina bifida. These things are not done willy-nilly. They're done on the basis of very careful scientific analysis. When it comes to the national immunisation schedule, whether you're talking children or adults, it goes through numerous quality checks before vaccines are put on the schedule, and then they are subject to continuous scrutiny, both to their safety and their effectiveness. These represent a very judicious, sensible employment of limited healthcare dollars.
Just a couple of questions that have come from the SMS, Dr. Michael Gannon, I'm talking to, President of the Australian Medical Association, about the anti-fluoride movement, or some sentiment, let's just call it that, that seems to be bubbling under the surface of the community. Martin has said that he heard that asthma rates went up significantly after fluoride was introduced. Is there any scientific evidence to that?
Well, what we know is that asthma rates have increased over the last generation or two, and everyone's theory is as good as the next one. So what we've seen is an increase in the rate of not only atopic asthma, but other allergic diseases. So everyone's theory is as good as the next one. But no, there's no convincing evidence of anything like that. The thought that fluoride is toxic, so is every other element in the periodic table. So if you fill your body full of sodium or magnesium, potassium, you name it, they are all lethal in dangerous doses. But fluoride in the microscopic parts per million doses it's put in our tap water is a bonanza for good dental health. And for those of us who don't have the same access to high quality dental care as much as others, along with brushing your teeth, it's the best we can offer people.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Michael Gannon there, President of the Australian Medical Association, giving us the history and the benefits of fluoridation, which still can cause like a little bit of controversy. We're talking about the political parties for the Free Fluoride Party, I think, started up in WA. There's scientists that travel around the world arguing against fluoridation. Obviously, more naturalistic-minded scientists or communities like Byron Bay are fighting against fluoridation, which is part of a wider kind of attack on public health in general, I always find it a little bit uncomfortable when science becomes politicised. I was talking earlier about how far-right movements in the States target fluoridation as one of the ways that governments seek to control citizens and the bodies of citizens. It's a little bit like climate change for me. I'm always slightly uncomfortable when science becomes politicized and scientists find themselves put on an end of a political spectrum when really they're just releasing research into an issue. But that is happening more and more in our society. Let's bring into this conversation Dr. Michael Foley, who's Deputy Chair of the Oral Health Committee at the Australian Dental Association. I know he's done several programs on this. Thank you for joining me, Michael.
Pleasure, Jules.
Just had a text in that someone said that their friend was told by a naturopath that fluoride could be lethal. Is this some of the sort of sentiment that you're having to deal with?
Yes, I see that sort of stuff all the time. And as Dr. Gannon said, everything is dangerous. You know, if you have too much water, it'll kill you. If you have too much oxygen, it'll kill you. If you have too much vitamin A and vitamin D, it will kill you. And too much iron will kill you. We're talking about one part per million of fluoride in the water, and it has a dramatic benefit on dental public health, particularly for people who, because they're frail or elderly or disadvantaged or have poor access to dental care or have mental illness or drug dependencies. A lot of people who do find difficult accessing good dental care get significant dental health benefits from fluoridated water. It's something that we and politicians should be really proud of. It's a wonderful move for public health in Australia.
There are some SMSs coming in that says it damages bones, that fluoride builds up on bones and can cause arthritis and things like that. Is this a medical myth or a legitimate concern?
If you have very, very, very high levels, yes, it can damage bone, but not at the levels we see here. So, for example, and we've got a great experiment in Australia because for many decades, Queensland was largely not fluoridated and all the other states were. So if all this stuff was true, there would have been far more disease in South Australia, Victoria, New South Wales, Western Australia, Tasmania than there was in Queensland. And that didn't happen.
Why do you think Dr. Michael Foley, Deputy Chair of the Oral Health Committee at the Australian Dental Association, who I'm talking to about fluoride, why do you think it is such an emotional debate?
Look, there's a lot of people out there, or there's a few people out there, with a deep distrust of science and a deep distrust of governments. Now, you know, it's all well and good to be a little bit sceptical about all sorts of things. And we all have a bit of a giggle about people who believe in the flat earth theory or fake moon landings or alien abductions. But doctors and dentists are entitled to get really annoyed when some of these nutty conspiracy theory beliefs actually impact on public health.
So it does get you fired up. I mean, because we are having...
It sure does.
We are. I did have an SMS saying, are you going to talk to a scientist who doesn't believe it's good? This is biased journalism. So someone just SMS'd that into me. So what percentage of the science community believe fluoridation is good, and what percentage believe it's bad in your experience?
Within the scientific and dental community, it would be 99%, and that's been consistently for decade after decade. Every scientific and health authority in the country, bar none, and we're talking not just the AMA and the ADA, but the National Health and Medical Research Council, the Australian Academy of Science, the Royal Australasian College of Physicians, Public Health Australia, every public health and scientific authority in the country strongly urges communities to fluoridate their water supply. Every health department in the country.
There are some scientists, though, who travel the world disapprove or speaking against fluoride, though, aren't there?
Yes, there certainly are. They make a very nice living out of it, and they get to travel around the world. Good luck to them.
Okay, Dr. Michael Foley, I should say, Deputy Chair of the Oral Health Committee at the Australian Dental Association. Thank you very much for your thoughts on fluoridation. It's a topic I know you would like to put to bed, but you would probably guess that it will still be an issue on the fringes of science and also politics for a while to come.
You're right there, Jules.
All right, thank you. There we go. And look, you know, I guess there's never a problem in debating these issues like fluoridation, but when I did get a SMS saying that it's biased journalism. I think you kind of have to weight the discussion of any topic in relation to the percentage of the scientific community that agree it's right. But I'm sure if a caller wants to come up who is experienced in dental health or tooth decay and wants to present the case against fluoride, we're always happy to put their point of view. But it seems to me that you should weight your evidence where the science suggests that you should weight it.